Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Raiders Insider Podcast on NBCSportsCalifornia.com. Introducing your host, Oakland Raiders Insider, Scott Baer.
Welcome, everybody, to this week's edition of the Raiders Insider Podcast, brought to you by Evergood Sausage. I'm your host, NBC Sports Bay Area Raiders Insider Scott Baer, and our featured guest this week is defensive coordinator Paul Gunther. We're so proud to bring you an extended conversation with the man who will run the Silver and Black's defense, and we got into a lot of different topics, including his defensive philosophy, where that comes from, and his biggest influences. And we also get into a lot of the players on this year's roster, from Bruce Irvin to Markell Lee, and of course, we talked about Khalil Mack and the impact of him staying away and how much time it's really going to take for Paul Gunther to get Mack ready to go. You're going to love his answer on that, on several other topics, and I think the more you get to know Paul, the more you get to know his defense, the more you're going to like about a guy who is as well respected as any coach in the league. I have been crossing my fingers for so long, hoping that I could get Paul Gunther as a guest on the Raiders Insider Podcast, and the Raiders defensive architect, fresh off the practice field in Napa, is sitting right in front of me, and I couldn't be more excited about it. Paul, now that you're experiencing your first camp in Napa, I know it's a lot of football, but have you been able to venture outside of the Napa Valley Marriott, go into wine country, do anything else, or has it been practice field to meeting room and back and forth?
It's pretty much locked down. We're, you know, everything's, the setup here is unbelievable. You have the practice field outside the hotel right here. The meeting rooms are steps off the practice field, so you kind of work in a triangle here. I actually got up here a little bit early before the rookies came up, had one dinner out up in the restaurant here, but pretty much been all football.
And what's this offseason been like? Because before your stop here in Oakland working with John Gruden, you were in Cincinnati as the DC and had been in Cincinnati for a long time, where the scheme was, it's fair to say, basically the same. Now you're building a foundation, you're installing everything, you're teaching new things to this new group. How has that been, and are you happy with how the guys have absorbed and then applied what you're teaching them?
Well, the first things we had to do is when John hired me, the day he got announced, we started interviewing a lot of coaches. So we had to build the coaching staff, and then I had to teach the coaches actually the system, how we're going to say
That's
it, making sure we're saying all the same things to the players, that it's clear in what we're telling them. And then once the players got in here, you know, we kind of just took it from square one. We have three phases of the offseason, phase one, phase two, phase three, and we install the defense actually three times and start each time over again. But the difference in phase three is instead of me talking, I get the players up front in the classroom, and they explain what they're supposed to do, so they're saying it just like me. So they worked hard in the offseason back in Alameda in the spring, and they came back here with a lot of retention here in training camp. So things have been going pretty good so far.
You had a great line in your press conference last week that I really thought that was a really smart way to think about it. Is you said, it's not about how much football I know. It's about how much football I can impart on these players and get them to understand. Where does that kind of philosophy come from? Where was that born? Because it's obviously been pretty effective.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, I always said football is a simple game made complicated by coaches. So what I try to do is teach the system and get all the players to understand what all 11 guys are doing, not just in your little world as a corner or a safety or a three technique or a linebacker. Where is everyone else fitting around me? So the better they can understand those things and why I'm calling certain things for certain situations, the better off we're going to be on Sundays, because they're going to have to make the adjustments during the game as they move, and they happen fast. So we got to be fast-minded with our approach, and we got to be knowledgeable with what we're doing.
I was talking to Leon Hall yesterday, and he worked with you with the Bengals before, and I was saying, everybody keeps saying that Paul is a good teacher, but what makes him one? And he laid it out pretty simply. He said, I've never been around a defensive coordinator who can identify well with every position group. Now, you're a linebacker by trade. You were a linebacker's coach for a long time. But that ability to really reach the safeties and the defensive ends, is that something that you pride yourself on, being able to connect with all those different guys?
Yeah, no question. We meet a lot as a unit. So, in other words, when we're watching a tape, I can say, hey, the nose guard, hey, your hand placement's wrong here. Linebacker, you're off a little bit on your key. Hey, corner, on this play, you're too high on your back pedal. Safety, you're off your landmark. So I think in order for it all to fit together, we all got to see it the same way. And then the assistant coaches take them, and they just reiterate some of the points that that are in our system that are critical parts of what we're doing.
And you've worked with a lot of great coaches over your tenure in college and in the pros, you know, Marvin Lewis, Mike Zimmer, Steve Spurrier. Is there any, I don't know, biggest influence, but anybody that really kind of helped mold your defensive philosophy into what it's become today?
Yeah, I would say Mike Zimmer, obviously, when he came to Cincinnati in 2008, I really learned a lot of the stuff, the positional stuff. He ran a very similar to what I'm doing here as far as meeting it with all three position groups a lot. And really the foundation of the defense that we ran in Cincinnati was one that I run here. So I believe in the system. I've seen every problem that may occur in the system. So when things come up on Sunday, it's nothing that we haven't seen that before. Mm-hmm. We'll have adjustments, and we'll get them fixed very quickly.
Actually ran into Mike Zimmer at the scouting combine specifically to talk to him about you. And he kind of has, at least publicly, can seem sort of gruff and very hard-nosed. Mm-hmm. I went up and I asked him about you, and he totally faked me out. He was like, you want me to talk about Pauly G? I can't stand that guy. I'm not doing that. And at first I was like, oh my gosh, he's serious. And yeah. Then he started laughing. Yeah. And we got into talking a little bit about, you know, about why you guys work so well together. And he said that, yeah, the scheme remains the same, but Paul was so good at finding new wrinkles, whether it's within a game plan or during the offseason, that can enhance what we already had. To have a guy like that, a mentor, who could let you be creative, let you have input, do you think that helped you grow pretty quick working under him?
No question. You know, when you're game planning for these things, you gotta be able to be able to rely on your assistant coaches to go out and look for a nugget here or a nugget there. And Mike really allowed me to do that, to come in and say, hey, this blitz looks pretty good. I think we could do this out of that look. And it wasn't like, yeah. Now, he wouldn't agree with all of it, but a lot of the stuff that I had put on the board, we kind of molded the system after that, and it's kind of built throughout the years.
What's it been like working with John Gruden? You've obviously known him for a long time, good friends with his brother Jay from the Cincinnati days, but it seems to me during these training camps, they are intensely competitive, not only between, you know, offensive and defensive linemen, corner and wideout, but between the coaches a little bit too. You guys seem to get after it. What's that dynamic like?
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, you know, he's an offensive guy through and through. You know, I'm running the defense. So, obviously, we have to make sure that Derek's getting the proper looks. That's first and foremost, because the quarterback's not successful here. We're not going to go. So, mm-hmm. There's some things that are set up for Derek, but most of the times we're doing calling it off the hip a little bit. They're competitive. It's like game out here. It's like every day I walk off the practice field, I feel like it's 4 o'clock on Sunday. So it's a good thing, because he and I go back and forth, and we each want to win the day for sure.
When you were in Cincinnati, you're working under Marvin Lewis, who's a defensive guy with a defensive background. Is it a bit different? Is there a relative level of autonomy that this is your defense, these are your blueprints, you take care of it? Mm-hmm. Do you like that?
Yeah, I do, actually. You know, when I was in Cincinnati, Marvin kind of was with the offense, sometimes with the defense. Uh-huh. Never really, said, hey, I don't want to do this, or I want you to do that. So he gave me a lot of slack that way to run it, because our system kind of remained the same after Mike left. But coming here, just starting fresh with John and understanding the responsibility he felt good enough to give me to come out here and just take this defense, run the system we had in Cincinnati, and run with it.
The Raiders Insider Podcast is brought to you by Evergood Sausage Company, bringing you locally smoked, handmade sausages out of San Francisco for 92 years, family owned. Within your coaching background, you have a little bit of work on the offensive side of the ball when you're working with Steve Spurrier in Washington. He hired you as an offensive assistant, kind of transitioning right from the University of Florida. What do you think that experience on the offensive side taught you or maybe helped you as a defensive coach?
It was probably the best experience that I've always coached on defense, so I had a good knowledge of that. But to go over on the offensive side for 2 years, working with the running backs and understanding you're in there with the game plan, understanding route concepts, how they're supposed to be coverages, what the quarterback's supposed to be looking at, who the running backs are supposed to block in the protection, what their aim points are in the running game, how the line's supposed to set. All those things I took notes over for 2 years. Even though I was coached on offense, it was always in the back of my mind, hey, man, if I ever get back on the defensive side, what an advantage to know all this stuff. Because really, as a defensive coach, some guys never even do that. So to be able to do that for 2 years young in my career, the advantage of that, how I game plan and the schemes we run are very much dictated from that.
You know, let's fast forward to this year's group and maybe somebody who isn't here yet, edge rusher Khalil Mack, not in camp yet. I'm not going to ask you a question about the contract. I know that's somebody else's jurisdiction, and you're focused on the guys that are here. But you said before that you have a plan to catch him up whenever he shows up. But the longer that he stays away, how does that impact your plan? Are you going to have to adjust that depending upon when he shows up?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, when he shows up, if he shows up, I'll be his position coach for about a week. So I'll catch him up.
Yeah.
We have a plan for that. Hopefully he can get here sooner than later. But if that doesn't occur, then, you know, we got guys out here working their tails off. We got some guys up front that are really competing, and we'll go with that way.
Just generally speaking, when you have a guy with his versatility against the run and pass and his talent level, do you enjoy getting up to that dry erase board and creating ways to find the one-on-one matchups where he can succeed?
No doubt. And when he gets here, he's going to find out. He's going to have a lot of new matchups that he's going to have, because have an ability to move him around. We got some guys like Bruce Irvin and Arden Key that can move around as rushers too. So they won't always know where he's at when we play Sunday. So hopefully, you know, when everything gets rectified here and we get rolling here, he'll see that.
I'm not asking you to give away the game plan, but I think that fans are hearing a lot about Arden Key and thinking, gosh, what if on 3rd and 8 you got Key, Irvin, Mack, and either Hurst or Edwards or some combination of all those rushers? That kind of speed package, have you used much of that? Do you like that idea?
I look forward to seeing that one day, because obviously I don't have to draw up all these crazy blitzes to get to the quarterback. Because really, ideally, in the as much blitzes that you have, ideally in the NFL, when you get to the playoff level, the teams that win in the NFL can rush 4 and get home. Mm-hmm. And they have 7 guys in coverage. They don't give up explosive plays. You know, they get after the quarterback in a one-minute situation. So having guys like that can go in there and we can roll guys through will make us more disruptive.
And in order to be disruptive, you have good edge rushers, but you need help rushing the passer from the inside. And for a long time, you worked with a guy like Geno Atkins. And unfortunately, you can't clone him. You can't just bring him over here. But you know, to find an encouraging element in there, and I bring all that up to ask you about Maurice Hurst. Mm-hmm. I talked to him, and he said he used to watch Geno Atkins tape when he was in college for inspiration, for little tips. I'm not asking you to compare a rookie to an all-pro,
right,
but do you see some things in him that make you think this guy could be an impactful three technique?
No doubt. We see it in both him and PJ Hall.
Really? Okay.
One of the things is when I went down to Georgia to work out Geno Atkins, we were in the same situation in Cincinnati. We're looking for an inside rusher, and I went down there, and Geno's only 5'10", maybe 5'11". I called back to Cincinnati. I said, this guy is explosive and strong. Now, he ain't real big. He's just short, but he's not small. He's just short. And we brought Geno in just to play on third downs, inside rush, and eventually he became an every down player.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what I see. These guys are coming in a role and then building into a full-time player.
Yeah, and Bruce Irvin, you're moving him down to the front, primarily something that he has been wishing for since his rookie year and hasn't been afraid to say how he wanted that in the past and how excited that he is to do that now. And But beyond that, are you getting more of a leader than you thought? At times he likes to say that he plays bad cop, but are you getting a leadership presence maybe more so than you expected from him?
I think so. I mean, obviously, you know, moving him down the end there, you know, the best thing he did coming out of college was rush the quarterback. So I just thought that's mm-hmm. going to be his natural position. And, you know, I knew Bruce. I went to West Virginia to work him out, spent some time with him.
Uh-huh.
So the minute I showed up on campus here, he and I knew each other. So he's done a good job as a guy who's a carryover guy from last year, who kind of been through the ranks here a little bit here in Oakland, that's done a good job with leading the guys, particularly in the D-line. But he's a guy that our younger players can look up to with his work ethic out on the practice field.
Okay, and just a couple more quick hitters. We've kept you for a long time, and definitely thank you so much for that. But Markel Lee, we're seeing a lot of him with the first unit. Your defense puts a lot of responsibility on your linebackers. Mm-hmm. How is he handling that side of
He's
it?
He's doing great. Like I said, we got a linebacking room. We may have three linebackers on first down against a two-back set, and then three new linebackers in there on nickels. So a lot of those guys are rolling through. They're getting a lot of experience playing here on the practice field. And Markel's done an excellent job thus far. Has exceeded my expectations with him. So hopefully his arrow can keep pointing up and he can keep moving forward with it.
I spoke to Derek Ansley for a while yesterday and came away just really impressed with not only his philosophy, but how he approaches guys individually, a holistic approach to coaching and teaching. 36-year-old guy. Are you happy that you made that hire?
Yeah, I mean, we brought a bunch of guys in, each position group really, and Derek, you know, stood out to us as a guy that was a young guy, that's a hard-working guy, that studies and no rock goes unturned with him, and he's going to be a great asset to our staff here.
And then just one last thing. I mean, fans have heard a lot about what a Paul Gunther defense is going to be. They're going to get to see it pretty soon with these preseason games and once we get into the regular season. Can you generally say that when your defense is going as it should, what are the characteristics that fans are going to be able to root for, to be attracted towards once they really get to watch you on Sundays?
We're going to be a physical team. You know, one of the things, you know, we always pride ourselves, we're going to be a physical team. When you come to play the Raiders, you better pack a lunch pail. So we're going to be smart situationally. We're gonna turn the ball over, and we're gonna get after the quarterback. We're gonna stop the run, and get after the quarterback on third down. But like I said, I mean, I grew up watching the old Raiders defenses. I'm trying to get them back to that.
Paul Gunther, thank you so much for the time. So happy that we were able to get you here in Napa. Great conversation, and we'll catch up again soon.
Okay, appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks to everyone for downloading and listening to this week's edition of the Raiders Insider Podcast, and a very special thank you to Paul Gunther for taking time during what is an incredibly busy training camp schedule to sit down and talk to us. It was such a candid interview, and I think that you probably got the same impression that I did when I was talking to him, and the more research I've done about this guy is that he's a head coach in the making. I think eventually he's going to be running his own team, but right now he has relative autonomy over the defense, and he and John Gruden are having a great time competing against each other each and every day in camp. That should produce better play callers and ultimately better football when the regular season starts. You've been listening to the Raiders Insider Podcast, and if you haven't already, please visit Apple Podcasts or Google Play to subscribe. If you like our podcast, give us a rating and a review. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at MBCSAuthentic, and we'll be back next week with another great guest. Thanks for listening, Raider Nation.
The Raiders Insider Podcast on NBC Sports California.com.